I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this hour in about 15 minutes from now, Andrew Catalan is going to join us, one of the voices of March Madness and the NCAA tournament, voice of CBS Sports. We'll talk to Catalan about this upcoming region he's got out in Salt Lake City, the pod in Salt Lake. That's the West region. He'll have number one seeded Gonzaga in that pod. So we'll talk to him about that West region coming up here in Gonzaga's chances in approximately 15 minutes from now. But I want to begin this hour with playing a piece of audio I promised you. On Friday, Jody Mack filled in for me when I was out on spring training vacay, and he addressed the Jody Mack montage. There were some questions within the DA show's mothership inner sanctum whether Jody was aware we were playing the wet sneezes and wet coughs. I believe the listeners kind of let him on to it by tweeting at him when we would play it. Here is Jody Mack addressing it. I have not heard this audio yet.
Do you have my sneeze slash cough slash whatever I didn't get to the cough button sound effect handy at all? Since yeah, that was not good. You know what I sound like more than anything else there? Connor, I know you've heard this before, but you hadn't heard it in a while, I'm sure. So what is the first thing you heard, you thought of when you heard that sound effect being replayed here?
I thought that you sounded very sick and maybe needed a little Advil or a little cold medicine or something like that.
That was not my first thought, and it's me we're talking about, but I had a specific thought. Peter Bellotti, what was the first thing you thought of when you heard that?
That first one, maybe a little Donald Duck in there.
Donald Duck. No, you know where I went? And have it ready. We'll play it one more time. Garbage disposal. That's what I thought of when I heard. All right, go one more time. Sounds like garbage disposal, doesn't it? Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
It does, yes.
Human garbage disposal. Jody McDonald here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
Well done. You know, there's a couple of wins in there. Number one, nice job by Pete playing the entire montage. He didn't back off it. Didn't just play a little snippet. Didn't play a 3-second drop. He played the full montage. He went full on Mac attack to Jody Mack. You asked for it, I'm going to play it. Number two, big winner, Jody. Jody owned it. Jody made fun of himself. And that's the biggest part of this show. I always say, take your work and your family seriously. Don't take yourself seriously. We here on the DA show, we crack at each other constantly. Nobody's allowed to take themselves too seriously. And Mraz, hearing that from Jody Mack, that's big, big, big kudos to him.
How do you not think Jody Mack's now a hero in DA show lore?
A hero.
Yeah, I think so, because I think you don't enter this octagon, if you will,
yeah,
without being able to laugh and know that you're a loser. You know, I think we all realize we are. I'm a loser, Pete's a loser, you're a loser, Bogus is a loser.
Huh.
We have fun, but we acknowledge our stupid selves. So when we make fun of others, understand that we're making fun of ourselves too, but except making fun of yourself. Jody, to me, was a little standoffish on that a year ago, but now has totally embraced it. And I look at that as, well, now there's zero guilt on ever playing the Mac Attack, number one.
Correct.
Number two, he's in on the joke. Once you're in on the joke, it makes it that much funnier. And anytime we pull it, we could add it, and he's going to have fun with it.
Look, I think you learn growing up. If you embrace the jokes about you, it diffuses the joke. It takes the power away from the joke. They're no longer poking fun at you. You're laughing with them. Mel Brooks built an entire career on being part of his own joke, poking fun at himself before anybody else could.
I learned it from 8 Mile when I saw it in 8th grade. It completely changed my life. When B-Rabbit got on that stage and in that battle rattled off all the things that could possibly be rapped about him and said, I've already said it, what are you going to say now too? I walked out of the movie theater that night and said, that's how I'm going to approach my life, as a husky, acne-filled face, mushroom-cut buttercup that nobody wants to talk to. Guess what? I blossomed in high school. I became popular. I was the funny guy. And now it's led to my career.
So 8 Mile had that much of an effect on you growing up?
Oh, I'll never forget. It was definitely 8 Mile. B-Rabbit on the stage, South Bay Cinemas, West Babylon, New York. Seeing that battle, I walked out of there, and it resonated with me. And I said, I got friends, but I'm no longer going to be the butt of other people's jokes, maybe more popular
people.
I'll
make fun of myself before they can.
My senior year, I was very popular. And I still am to this day, and I think it's honestly led to the career I have, which is still not that great, but at least I know I can step in here and make fun of myself, and I'm going to laugh when anybody makes fun of me because it doesn't bother me. Because anything you're going to say about me, I've already said about myself and acknowledged. So Jody Mack now is taking a page out of B-Rabbit's book.
He's the new B-Rabbit. He's J-Rabbit.
He's J-Rabbit. Absolutely. And spins it forward to say, no, you guys are wrong. It's a garbage disposal.
Which is a great move. It's a great move. Now, by the way, young Connor Green, who is filling in for producer, he's one of the Diaper D aliens. He's a young guy, early 20s, cutting his teeth in radio, gets put on the spot. What's the first thing you think about when you hear that? And Connor says, that you're sick.
That we don't have much time left with you, Jody.
Yeah. But really, props to Jody Mack. Now he's part of the crew. Now he's part of the family. As if you can poke fun at yourself, you're always welcome around here. Take your work, take your family seriously. Do not take yourself seriously.
Yeah. On that note.
Okay. Good job by Jody Mack. That is fantastic. So, by the way, are the Raiders serious? I mean, honestly. They signed Vontaze Burfict, who has a rivalry, a personal beef with Antonio Brown, who has hit Antonio Brown illegally, who has targeted Antonio Brown. You have just pried Antonio Brown away from the Steelers. You have just lavished him with a new contract. You are trying to obviously make Antonio Brown like you and be happy, because we've seen what happens when he doesn't like you and he's unhappy. And your solution is to sign Vontaze Burfict, who's not even good anymore. He is one of the dirtiest players in NFL history. And he's washed up. I know that the Raiders have problems on defense. I know they have problems at linebacker. I know that the Raiders are clearly in collection of talent mode, which is kind of hysterical, because are they trying to win? Are they not trying to win? Are they trying to rebuild? They're trying to add draft picks, but are they trying to also plug up holes with the veterans? I mean, who knows? But Vontaze Burfict and Antonio Brown hate one another. Why bother? Burfict isn't good enough to bring in to create that type of drama. I mean, what? What are we doing here? What are we doing? So let me just spell out what the Oakland Raiders in 2019 are going to be. Antonio Brown, dirty Vontaze Burfict, money-chasing John Gruden, a quarterback that insists, I'm not a crybaby, an antagonistic city government, a franchise with one foot out the door heading to Vegas, a fan base that is emotionally torn to shreds, and guys in spikes in the stands. What could go wrong? Does this make any sense? Any sense whatsoever? Perfect isn't good enough to bring in to cause a disturbance. You've just added Antonio Brown. Why go down this road? Except for the fact that John Gruden, in my estimation, truly feels like this. He wants to bring back the old lady. I think John Gruden is in part sick in the head like I am. If there is an NFL film special on, I'm watching it. I will go down NFL films rabbit holes on YouTube. Watch This Week in Football from 1976. Inside the NFL, Week 12, 1980. The story of the 1987 road to the Super Bowl. Team video for the 1984 Buffalo Bills. I will watch all of it and I will love it and cherish it. And the bourbon bell will come inside in the door one day after work and go, oh, this is what you're doing again? And I think that John Gruden is wired like a sicko like I am, like a delirious idiot like I am. He just wants to bring back the old Raiders. Swashbuckling, renegade Oakland Raiders. He wants the misfits. He wants the dirty guys. He wants the questionable ethics guys. He wants all of the renegades that have blown their way out of their old places, which was great back in the 70s. But remember, you also had a Hall of Fame head coach in John Madden and a Hall of Fame quarterback in Ken Stabler and elite Pro Bowl wide receivers in Fred Biletnikoff and Cliff Branch. And amazing defensive players and one of the greatest offensive lines ever with Jim Otto and Art Shell and Gene Upshaw. And you could afford to bring in a Lyle Alzado. You could afford to have back in the day a Jack Tatum. The rules were different. But that also can only happen once. Because didn't we learn that every time the Raiders tried to go out there and get somebody off the scrap heap, here's your last chance. It didn't end up working after the 70s. You know, you got to build the football team to win without just kind of expecting that because they throw on a certain uniform, it's going to work because once upon a time it worked. I don't think John Gruden has any idea how to build a team. None. I don't think he has any idea. I think in his prime, when he was totally committed to football and was just the coach in Oakland with the Raiders the first time around, it was best case scenario. Once he got to Tampa and had all that personnel control, went to hell in a handbasket. He won a Super Bowl with Tony Dungy's roster. Then he began building the roster and they kept getting worse and worse and worse. He's picking up Vontaze Burfict of all the players. Vontaze Burfict, the guy that's been suspended 10 times, the guy that has gone out there to try to maim your new star wide receiver, the guy that's not even good anymore. All right. Good luck with all that. When we come back, March Madness breakdown with one of the voices of the tournament, Andrew Catalan of CBS Sports, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Fun with audio.
I just recently started getting into podcasts and I was listening to the PGP yesterday. I just wanted to compliment you guys on having probably the wettest show on radio and to just encourage you guys to keep it moist.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We keep it moist every single day. This week's PGP is out, the Fresh Permission Granted podcast. The Bourbon Bell claps back on Mraz and Bogush's criticism that I filmed and edited a Nomad during our honeymoon. The Bourbon Bell strikes on this week's PGP, the Permission Granted podcast. The NCAA tournament begins in full tomorrow at noon Eastern. And one of the best voices, I am biased because he's one of my closest friends, but One of the best voices of March Madness is our next guest. He will be in Salt Lake City for the round, the pod in Utah, coming up here in a couple of days. He joins us here on the show, Andrew Catalan of CBS Sports. Mr. Catalan, good morning.
Good morning, DA. I'm looking out my window here in Salt Lake at the beautiful mountain scenery, snow-capped mountains, nice little blue tint in them. It's a gorgeous day as we get set to watch eight teams practice for the games in Salt Lake City tomorrow.
You've got a couple of interesting games here and interesting teams. I want to start with Kansas because the Jayhawks are a blue blood. I think a lot of people have the Jayhawks just by muscle memory advancing in the tournament, but they have had a totally broken year. Their best players out. They did not win the regular season Big 12 title for the first time in forever. Same thing with the postseason Big 12 championship. And some people think they're one and done. Could Kansas lose to 13-seeded Northeastern?
They could, but I think that for all the reasons that you just mentioned, Bill Self is going to have his team motivated and ready to go. I mean, they didn't win the regular season title for the first time since 2006. He's going to make them aware of that. I'm sure they already know that. And they're a four seed, as you mentioned. They're usually a top one or two. I think there's a lot of motivating factors that Bill Self has to get his team fired up. You're right. It's a different team. They start four freshmen. Two of their most talented players are not going to play, either due to injury or because Gerald Vick has taken a leave of absence. So it's a different Kansas team that Bill Self is bringing into the NCAA tournament. But keep in mind, if they do find a way to win their first two games, they'll be in the regionals in Kansas City, which is 40 miles from their campus. So I think there's a lot to play for here for Kansas in terms of motivation. Is Northeastern capable of winning? Sure they are. We've seen some upsets, you know, every year this time of year we see these types of upsets. But I have a feeling this Kansas team is going to be pretty determined to find a way to get to Kansas City.
Yeah, it's been a sour season for the Kansas Jayhawks, but with a couple of wins, they find themselves in their backyard in Kansas City in the regional. The other game of the early session for you is Auburn and New Mexico State. And how about the Tigers' run in the SEC tournament? We saw Tennessee and Kentucky all season long and even LSU in the SEC. But how serious should we take a red-hot Auburn team that ended the season so well?
Yeah, I mean, they won four games in 4 days at the SEC tournament. They destroyed Tennessee in the SEC championship game. And when you look at this Auburn team, it's a three-point bonanza. I mean, they are four threes away from 400 for the season, 400 three-pointers. And you look up and down their roster, and there's anyone on that team that can make them. So this is a dangerous Auburn team, but that said, they cannot take New Mexico State lightly. The Aggies have been in the NCAA tournament 3 years in a row. They've won 30 games. They won the WAC again. And they go like 12 deep with New Mexico State. So they're going to keep running bodies in and out. They're going to have some fresh bodies. So, look, Auburn is the more talented team. As long as they don't overlook them, you really like what you saw from Auburn at the SEC tournament.
Andrew Catalan joins us from CBS Sports. He's got the Salt Lake City pod coming up here in a couple of days. You've got the one seed Gonzaga taking on Fairleigh Dickinson. We know that 16 seeds never win this game except for UMBC last year, but there are worries by some that Gonzaga is the weakest number one seed out of the four number ones. Let's just assume Gonzaga gets through Fairleigh Dickinson. Do you think the Zags are properly being credited as maybe one of the weaker number one seeds? Do we chop them up into the next round, or do we think that the Zags have Final Four potential?
I think they have Final Four potential. Obviously, I don't love the way they go into the tournament, as St. Mary's absolutely blitzed them and in the championship game of their conference on the West Coast. So, you know, that's not a good sign going into the tournament. But I still think they're a Final Four team. They've got one of the best players in the country in Hachimura. They're tournament tested. They've been in this spot before. And I just feel like in this season of college basketball, there's no dominant team. Yes, Duke with Zion is the favorite. But if you watch the season, you know, from start to finish, it's just I don't see like a great team. I don't see even a couple of really strong teams that could make a big run. I just feel like it's very wide open. There's a lot of parity. And to me, this is the type of year where Gonzaga can really go all the way. So, yes, don't love the way they go into the tournament, but I still think they're very capable of going to the Final Four.
Gonzaga is going to have to play a power conference team coming out of that game, either the ACC Syracuse or the Big 12's Baylor. That's the 8-9 game. A couple of years ago, Syracuse beat Gonzaga in the tournament, and I can't figure out our alma mater at all. At times this year, they played crisp and like stallions. Other times, they played sloppy, slobbish, almost like pigs. And so what to figure when it comes to Syracuse against Baylor coming up?
Well, I don't think you're gonna have any swine on the plate here against Baylor, DA. As long as Tyus Battle plays, I think Syracuse is feeling really good about their chances because, you know, you go back and you watch the Duke game in the ACC quarterfinals. I know you watched it. And without Tyus Battle, they were tied with Duke against Zion Williamson with, you know, midway through the second half. And I think that there was a lot of positives that Jim Boeheim took out of that. I think that gave the team a lot of confidence, knowing they could hang tough with, which we just said, is one of the best teams in the country, if not the best, without Tyus Battle. So if he's healthy, and all indications at this point in the week is that he is healthy, I think Syracuse is in a really good place going into the NCAA tournament. Now, if you want to skip ahead to the potential Gonzaga game in the second round, if you have SU beating Baylor and Gonzaga winning, you know, there's so much is made of the Syracuse zone and the tournament, and teams don't have time to prepare, and it's a quick turnaround. I don't really buy into it all that much with this Gonzaga team. As you mentioned, they played each other a couple of years ago. Mark Few is a tremendous coach, and he goes way back with Jim Boeheim. He knows kind of ways that he can attack and what they did wrong the last time out. So I think that would be a great game if those two teams met. But obviously Syracuse has to get by a tough Baylor team first.
Andrew Catalan joins us, CBS Sports. He's in Salt Lake to call the NCAA tournament. You've had some unbelievable moments that you've called in the NCAA tournament. Very memorably, Ron Hunter falling off of his stool, falling off of his chair as they won. What's your favorite March Madness call or moment that you have had?
That's the one. No, without a doubt. I mean, coming back to Salt Lake City is pretty cool because I was here 2 years ago when Northwestern won its first ever NCAA tournament game. And it was an awesome scene with all the purple in the stands. And then they had a great game against Gonzaga in the second round before Gonzaga pulled away late. So that was a really tremendous scene. And I'm happy to be back in Salt Lake because I have a feeling it'll be another great crowd. But, yeah, in terms of a call, I mean, a guy falling off his stool as his son hits a three-pointer with 2 seconds to go is kind of hard to make up. And it was something I still think about. And I know it's funny, we had Georgia State last year in the NCAA tournament, and their coach, Ron Hunter, was all fired up that our broadcast crew was on the call again. But didn't work this time. They didn't have as good of a run last year. But it was definitely a lot of fun in Jacksonville in 2015.
I saw a promo of all of the CBS announcers singing along to the CBS theme song, so I think you and I should do that. Pete the Body Bilotti, cue it up for us, huh?
Wow, that was a great hoomini he right there. tremendous. With your mouth, I could really feel it on the other end of the phone. Tremendous job.
Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba, beep, 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 ba-ba-da-ba. So the mountains are blue, they're crisp, they're looking good in the background as you get ready to call games tomorrow in Salt Lake, huh?
Can't wait. It's a beautiful setting out here, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Going to be a lot of fun, DA. We'll see what tomorrow brings.
Can't wait to listen. Can't wait to watch. Andrew Catalan is on the Salt Lake games. Tomorrow's Auburn, New Mexico State, Kansas Northeastern. And then Gonzaga, Fairleigh Dickinson, and Syracuse, and Baylor late. Cat, always good, buddy. Thanks so much.
All right, DA. Take care. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, sounds good. When we come back, your best stories that did not make the cut, plus your epic fail. Does it matter if you've got coaching experience to coach in March Madness? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Open now out for brunch.
Really appreciate what you do for us. I genuinely would love to hang out with you. That's how you make me feel. I'm sure that's how you make a lot of the D-Aliens feel as well.
D-A on CBS Sports Radio.
Very kind of you. I appreciate that very much. All D-Aliens are welcome here. All colors, all creeds, all ages, or all genders. Sexual orientations, everybody is unified, united, and welcome here because it's space. And we party like it's deep space. By the way, if you want to check out Kelly in Vegas, we just had Kelly Stewart join us yesterday here on the show. You've seen her on CBS Sports HQ as a resident handicapper, professional sports handicapper and bracketologist. She joined us yesterday here in studio. She also filmed for us her picks for first round upsets. So you can check that out on my Instagram stories. Go to my IG, which is at Damon Amendo. On Instagram, at Damon Amendo. Just click on the Instagram stories and you'll be able to see Kelly in Vegas, as she likes to go by, picking the first round upsets of the NCAA tournament. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance too. Get it all. Geico.com. It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Don't forget, you can submit your question by simply tweeting at me, DA on CBS. Again, that's DA on CBS. Send it to us, and we will answer it later on in the show every single morning when we have one of these. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Will tweets, DA, when Luke Walton is let go, should he take a prime college job or stay in the NBA? Well, it does feel very inevitable that Luke Walton is going to be out of a job after the season. As I mentioned before, I thought that Doc Rivers going out of his way to compliment something behind the scenes that his owner did was the first in many chess moves that the Clippers are going to have this offseason to land a big star. You see, the Clippers have all of the trappings of Los Angeles with none of the problems that playing for the Lakers or LeBron right now brings to the table. The Lakers are a constant soap opera, and you get the sexiness, you get the glamour of being able to play for the Lakers, but with LeBron and what LeBron is and the way that everything around LeBron is such a circus, what the Clippers provide is stable ownership, stable coaching, and an organization where you can live in LA but not have to deal with the monstrosity that is the expectations of Lakerland. And I think that's perfect for a guy like Kevin Durant. I think the Clippers are the most dangerous team out there to sign Kevin Durant in the offseason. And when Doc Rivers says, I'm staying, I'm not going to become a Laker head coach, I think he's doubling down on not only do the Clippers have a better setup right now to win because they've got max contract space. They can sign a guy like Kevin Durant or a Klay Thompson or a Kawhi Leonard. So they are set up to get one of these premier free agents. They don't have to deal with whatever LeBron is going to become. But then also, as Doc said, I've got an owner that trusts me and I can trust him. And I think Doc went out of his way to mention this, to put it out there to free agents, hey, this is a great owner. Steve Ballmer took over, he spent $2 billion on the Clippers to take over a franchise that has always been the afterthought in the town. And Steve Ballmer didn't do this to be an afterthought. You don't spend $2 billion to be an afterthought after building a billionaire empire out of what you did at Microsoft. What he's doing is he wants his own arena, doesn't want to play in Staples Center in the shadow of the Lakers. He's building his own practice facility, beautiful, gleaming, apart from being the Lakers. He wants the own identity, and Doc Rivers provides stability. I mean, look, let's face it, Doc Rivers is going to have far more cred having been with the Clippers as long as he has and having won a championship than whoever the Lakers hire. The Clippers are the most dangerous team in this offseason's run to free agents. For Luke Walton, Look, I don't know if he's anything worth his salt in the NBA. We have no idea. You don't know because this is kind of like an eclipse of the sun. When you're the head coach of LeBron, it's really LeBron half coaching and calling the shots. So I don't know. If I'm Luke Walton, if I've got designs in being in the NBA, that's fine. That's fine. Some guys want to coach the very best and not have to go out and recruit every day, not have to deal with guys who aren't at that next elite level. Coaching in the NBA, hey, you get to coach the very best of the best. But the stability is obviously in college. I mean, look, Belmont's got a head coach that's been there for more than 30 years and had never won a tournament game. I mean, come on. You know, last night Belmont won its first tournament game and their head coach had been there for 3 decades. You want stability, you want safe, you get to control the noise. Luke Walton should go to college then if he wants that. Let's get to your cut line, the stories that did not make the cut.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
James Harden is ridiculous. Last night, in scoring 31 points over the Atlanta Hawks, James Harden has scored 30 or more points this season against every team in the NBA. Every team in the NBA. The other 29 teams, he scored at least 30 points once. I mean, what kind of season is that? He's the first player ever to be able to score 30 or more points against every opponent in the same season. Now, Wilt Chamberlain did this, but it was a far smaller league. So Chamberlain scored 30 or more points against every team in the league, but way before it was a 30-team league. James Harden is just insane, and I really don't understand the people that criticize James Harden for playing a style of basketball they don't like. He's ruthlessly efficient, incredibly productive, and putting up historic numbers. There's nothing for me not to like there.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Johnny Manziel is confident that he can play anywhere. Manziel, as part of his introductory press conference with the Memphis Express of the Alliance, said, "My confidence level is high. I believe I still have a unique skill set and still have the ability to play at any level anywhere. I've done a lot of soul searching and a lot of looking at myself in the mirror and coming to the realization that when I'm on a football field and on a team, my life is substantially better." End of quote. If Johnny Manziel is anything close to what he was in college, this is the win of all wins for the AAF. If he's anything close, he doesn't have to be Heisman Trophy Johnny Manziel, but rolling out of the pocket on the run, throwing a dart, escaping some pressure, winding through the defense and picking up a big gain, all he has to be, he doesn't even have to win games. Just be a semblance of what he was, and it's an enormous win for the Alliance. As we've talked about, they've got exclusive contracts. So once you sign with the Alliance, you're an Alliance player for 3 years. You can't go to the XFL. So just keeping him away from the XFL is a huge win. But Johnny Manziel gives you a reason to say, "I got to tune in and see what happened." And for that, it's smart. It's absolutely the right move for the Alliance. And I got to tell you, once they were bought by Tom Dundon, and Alliance Primetime is brought to you from the Memorial Tom Dundon Studios here on the DA Show, I think the league then found itself a bit of a direction. I think they found themselves a money guy, but also, okay, this is what we want to be. We want to be a developmental arm for the NFL. We want to be in bed with the NFL, but we also want some star power to bring in here so that people care. We want to have the quality of the football games up, and we want to look the part. For as you pointed this out, since Dundon's cash influx, a couple of alternate jersey combinations that we've seen.
Yeah, just last week, San Diego suddenly had white jerseys. You can't tell me all of a sudden new jerseys are popping up, new equipment. It's as if a booster came in. I love what Dundon's doing for the AAF.
So Tom Dundon is the T. Boone Pickens of the AAF.
He is Mr. Pickens, absolutely. And Slim Pickens at that.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
That's your cut line. So this weekend, if Johnny plays for the Memphis Express, that's the Sunday night game on NFL Network.
Well, I mean, could you imagine after watching college basketball weekend, you get to put your feet up and watch Johnny Manziel on Sunday night football in March? Sunday night football's the stage, DA.
Sunday night Alliance football. Andrew Siciliano on the call for the NFL Network. This is where I want to be after 4 days of my eyes then bleeding from college basketball.
I could just see it right now. I'm going to have a piece of cheesecake resting on my belly, just going to town watching Johnny Manziel play football.
I'm with you. I'll be right there with you. Dixieland Dan tweets, you guys should turn Jody Mack into the new huge freeze. Instead of having him sing, you could just start telling him jokes until he starts laughing slash coughing slash gargling and make that a new Thursday segment.
Excuse me.
There's actually potential there. There actually is potential. We've got a void, a 380-pound void. Could we bring in Jody Mack's black lung laugh and just try to basically poke him like the Pillsbury Doughboy until he laughs?
Excuse me.
Plenty of pound room there. We'd probably still have at least 140 pounds to work with.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. I can't imagine Jody is much over 200.
This would be like trading Odell Beckham and getting three players for it.
All right, let's bring you your epic fail. ESPN.com did a really interesting ranking, 1 through 68, of the athletic careers of the playing careers of the 68 coaches in March Madness. I said, wait a second. Every coach had a playing career, a significant playing career. And this led to an interesting discussion. It's your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Okay, what about Adam Gase? Did Adam Gase play high school football?
Adam Gase, there's a theory out there that he did not.
A theory. There's a theory.
A theory out there. We cannot confirm
out
nor
where,
deny.
Sean? Where is this theory?
Out there.
Wikipedia. Wikipedia. So you can't trust Wikipedia's word. But at some point, if Gase didn't put on shoulder pads, he should be disqualified from coaching.
It's about sports.
Yes, it is.
And you know it.
Worth. I'm talking about the grimy, rah-rah speech guy in that locker room, grabbing that clipboard from the assistant coach, drawing up plays.
What, we're going to go Google Gaga?
You have to have been in a locker room to get that respect as a player at some point, high school, college, or professionally. If you stopped playing after eighth grade or only played CYO something, I'm sorry. That line of work is not for you.
Did Pete Carroll play high school football?
Pete Carroll played football. You bet your bottom dollar he did.
I do your job, man.
Bet my bottom dollar.
Yeah.
Pete Carroll's running around, what, as a cornerback?
Yes, he's thin. I'm sure he played somewhere, a D-back, a slot receiver. Pete Carroll played somewhere.
Because he was thin?
You can't tell how the game plan's going to go. You can't tell how you're going to run it.
Because he's a football coach and he's thin. He played somewhere.
So, it was unfortunate.
Somewhere. You didn't play.
No.
I didn't play. We can sit here and analyze it, but there ain't no way we're walking into a locker room as the head coach and we have respect to those players. There's no way. You had to have been through the wars with them.
I'm not a monkey, Dan.
Matt LaFleur, do we have any idea if he ever played?
Matt LaFleur, I bet you, was a tight end somewhere. I don't care if it was Rockland Boulder College. Matt LaFleur played.
Speaking of quarterbacks.
So we're saying if you want to be a coach, you have to have played. If you want to be a GM, you could be a bookworm.
Right. GMs, you want to be in the library, not going to parties in high school, drinking the Natty Lights? Fine. I don't care. Just figure out the salary cap. But if you want to get in that locker room and you know, nitty gritty, I'm going to coach this team. I'm not talking about the graduate assistant, you know, kid who might have been a dweeb who had some plays. I'm talking about you want to run a team. You better play.
Now, he's a thing of beauty on throwing a football.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
We did find out that Pete Carroll did have an athletic career, a very impressive one, at the University of Pacific. But I don't know. I think Mraz is slightly off here. That a guy who played JV football can walk into the NFL locker room and they can relate to him and know that he's got some credibility.
Why is ESPN.com doing that article today if that's not the case?
Well, like I said, I think there's an interesting self-fulfilling prophecy of it, that you wouldn't get into coaching unless you had a background because you're not as interested in coaching, not because you played.
Why do you think, and this comes from a couple years ago, Mike Francesa in New York said he was offered a coaching job on a football team, but said he wouldn't get paid enough money to do it. And that was a viral video a while back in sports radio. And the idea that was so funny is the idea that he didn't play, therefore why would he coach?
But I'm saying if he played high school football, that doesn't make it any more credible of a claim.
But you don't understand. That's blood, sweat, and tears in high school football. It's different. Like, you've been in the locker room. You've been through some kind of run, some kind of hardship, some kind of championship, something like that. You're not going through that. You're not respected as a head coach. Forget by the players, by the people you'd be interviewing with for the job.
I don't know. You play a little backyard high school football in a small town, and suddenly you have the credibility to go get the NFL job?
Yeah, way more credibility than you and I would have, and we might know more football than that guy.
Lonnie tweets, DA, just wanted to shout out you guys, the Mothership crew. Always start off my morning right. I think you guys are the best. Proud to be called a D-Alien. Hashtag, can I get a beam up? Thanks for all the things that you guys do. Lonnie, thank you. Those are very kind words. Thank you to all of the D-Aliens for your daily loyalty, because it helps fuel this bad boy every single day. I had fun today. It was a fun show. We got to figure out whether or not we're going to have some type of bracket challenge for the women's bracket, like one spicy moment last year, Death by Salsa. That's coming up tomorrow on the show. We'll have some type of conclusion about that and be basically your three-hour ramp-up to day one of the NCAA tournament. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer, Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel, Andrew Bogish on your headlines, Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.